Hi, we're glad you can be with us again today as we look at what Jesus Christ tells us in his own words about entering into eternal life. Surveys have shown that the great majority of people here in the United States believe that if something happens to them and they should die today, they will spend eternity with God in his kingdom. You have to wonder, though, where that idea comes from. It certainly does not come from the scriptures, as we'll see today. So the only other source is from men's teachings, which are said to be based on God's words from the Bible. And we're going to look today at what Jesus Christ, the only begotten human Son of God, at what he says is the only way to enter into eternal life. It's not all that complicated or mystical, but it's given to us in plain, understandable words that we all can comprehend. I don't know exactly how it's all come about, but much of Christianity has come to believe that each church has God's approval to interpret his word in their own way, as long as they're sincere and acknowledge Jesus Christ. Have you noticed that in all of the churches? And that's the position in which we find ourselves today in Christianity, with tens of thousands of different churches with differing beliefs, with each church sincerely believing their doctrines are acceptable to God. But that brings up this question. If that's true, where is God's church that he says he is raising up for himself? Where is it to be found in the thousands of different Christian churches? Each church will say, well, our beliefs and doctrines are taken straight from the Bible, and so we are the church. So then, how are we to distinguish what God's one and only church is from the tens of thousands of different Christian churches? What is it that separates God's church from all others? The answer is that God's church that is in Jesus Christ is made up of spirit-born people. It's not a physical organization, as are all of our Christian churches, but it encompasses all God's people, regardless of what earthly church they may be found in. And we'll see this from Jesus' own words. We have to remember as well that God's word concerning salvation and eternal life does not allow for interpretation, nor does it allow for any additions or subtractions from what he says to his church. Men can say anything they like, and they can say it is according to Jesus Christ. But where in his words can it be found that Jesus has given any man or group of men or church authority to teach his church anything that he has not specifically taught? So we hope you'll stay with us today as we see what the head of God's church, Jesus Christ, says to his church about eternal life, about when it begins and how it's lived here on the earth. Now, before I go on, if you have a pen and paper handy, I'll give you our phone number and address where you can get a free CD copy of today's program. And this is program number 59. And all you need to do is call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Or you can listen to, or you can freely download these programs off of our internet website, and they're in MP3 audio format, and that address is www.communitychurchofgod.com. And if you missed it, have a pen and paper ready, and I'll repeat this information at the end of today's program. Also, we're always glad to hear from you with whatever questions, comments, or suggestions you may have. The belief has been taught and accepted in Christianity that God and Jesus Christ want so desperately to give people eternal life that they're willing to accept anyone into God's kingdom if they will just meet a few basic criteria, such as professing a belief in Jesus and confessing that they've committed a few or maybe a lot of sins, and that they're willing to prove their commitment through some kind of works, such as public repentance, baptism, joining a church, or doing other good works of charity to show their sincerity and commitment to Christ. It's not that those things are bad, but they're not how God says a person must enter into eternal life. Just listen to what Jesus says about how everyone enters into eternal life. And he repeats these words over and over and over. This is John chapter 3 and verse 16. This is a verse that practically everyone that's ever studied the Bible any is aware of. John 3:16. Jesus says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life." Now Jesus says that whoever believes in him shall not perish. That means the believer is not going to lose that life within him that is his being, that inner life, the spirit life that's within him, even though the bodily life will die. The believer has eternal life, Jesus says. Notice that nothing is said about any criteria except believing in him. Continuing on now in John chapter 3 and verse 36, Jesus again tells them, "He who believes in the Son has eternal life, but he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him." And again, Jesus says, the believer has eternal life. Obedience to Jesus is not a condition for being given eternal life, but it is the result of salvation. It's the result of believing and having been changed by God. Obedience follows that. Then in John chapter 5 and verse 24, Jesus adds a lot more information, and he says here, John chapter 5 and verse 24, "Truly, truly, I say to you," Jesus says, "he who hears my word." It's not the word of any man or any word that anyone has changed somewhat to and says this is from Christ. He said, "He who hears my word and believes him who sent me," that is God, "has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life." In John chapter 6 and verse 47, Jesus continues on. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes has eternal life." Now, there are many, many more statements of Jesus saying that the only way to enter into eternal life is through believing in him. And that includes believing his words. And it logically follows then that those who believe in him as being who he says he is, that he is God the Son, who is both Savior and Lord of all who believe, they will also believe his words and will begin to obey him in all that he says. The believer's obedience is not perfect, of course, because the old natural self of sin and unbelief still exists, but the believer will begin to follow a new course of obedience, though he fails many times because, for one thing, of ignorance of Jesus' word, or of misunderstanding, or of following false teachings. And sometimes we fail just because of plain old human weakness and sin that dwells within all of us and that afflicts us all. But these are just some of Jesus' words found in the Gospel of John. We can find many others in the three other Gospels also, but Jesus makes it abundantly plain in his words that those who believe in him have entered into the eternal life of God. And they do hear and believe his words alone as truth, and they begin to live in obedience to what he tells them. Now that brings up the question of, what is the manner of believers entering into eternal life? By that, I mean, how is it brought about? Now, Jesus makes it plain that believers have eternal life, that they're no longer under the judgment of sin and death. So, how have they been changed from their previous condition? Maybe it would be better to ask, what has God done to give believers eternal life, even though they dwell in a body that is unchanged and that will die? Jesus gives us the answer. This is in John chapter 3, where he says, and this is in verse 3, and here Jesus begins to address the subject of being born again. And he tells a man named Nicodemus, "Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now there can be no arguing with or interpretation of this statement. Jesus says that unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It follows then that those who have believed have been born again. Jesus said in the verses we read earlier that believers had entered into eternal life. There always has been a huge controversy over the meaning of the term born again, with most of Christianity actually rejecting the idea of a literal new birth because they cannot see how a believer's changed. Jesus explains, though, in verse 5, that he is speaking of two births that must take place to enter God's kingdom. And it all makes sense according to what he says, and this is in verse 5. Jesus answered, "Truly, truly," this was a statement by Nicodemus saying, "How can that be?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." We all have entered this world in these human bodies by being born of water, that is, born of a woman. Some say that he's speaking of baptism, but that's an entirely different word. Jesus is also talking here about his own birth of a woman, just like we all have been born. And he's telling us that all who enter God's kingdom must be born as he was born, of God's Spirit. We all are born of a woman with the spirit and nature of our father Adam. For God to become like us in order to become an acceptable sacrifice for our sins and an acceptable ransom to free us from Satan's control of our lives, Jesus had to be born of a woman with the body and mind or soul found in all mankind. Jesus was not born, though, of Adam's spirit and nature of sin. Jesus' father was the Spirit God, and so Jesus was born of the spirit and nature of God his Father. Jesus was the firstborn human being to enter into the kingdom of God. By his birth of a woman, Jesus was no different than any of us. His body and brain worked just like ours. His soul, that non-physical part of every person that enables us to think, to reason, to have self-knowledge, to love, hate, all of our emotions, our feelings, our morals, these are things that God built into the human soul, along with our conscience, along with a longing for a relationship with God. And all these things and more are the workings of the non-physical soul within that follows the leading of the Spirit within. The Spirit we have inherited from Adam always leads to sin and death. And people say, "Well, no, that's not true. There are good people in the world, and not everything we do is a sin." And that's true. It's true that there are good people in this world, as we consider goodness, and probably most would be considered good. But good people are sinners and are not righteous. All who enter God's kingdom must be entirely righteous as Jesus was righteous. The first man in the kingdom of this world, the kingdom of man, was the one created by God, the man Adam. Adam chose to believe and to follow the words of the spirit being Satan, rather than believe in, accept, and obey the words of his creator and life giver, the Spirit God. We have all inherited that same spirit from our father Adam. So all that we think and do comes from our nature, and it comes from that spirit of sin that is born within us. If you think that's not true, and many people do, just try to think of someone who has never had an impure thought or never has done anything wrong or sinful. You won't need a hand to count them on or even a finger because there are none. The Apostle Paul tells us that all mankind has sinned and have fallen short of the righteousness of God who has no sin. You know, it's not just that we have all fallen short of God's righteousness. We've missed it completely. And if you miss something completely, it doesn't matter if we miss it by an inch or by a mile or a million miles. It's completely missed, just the same. It's missed. The righteousness or goodness of man comes nowhere close to the righteousness of God, without which no one can enter his kingdom. Jesus was born of water. He was born of a physical woman with all the physical attributes that God created in the first man, Adam. Adam was not the father of Jesus, though. God was his father. And so Jesus inherited the perfect holiness and righteousness and nature of God his Father. Jesus said in verse 5 that everyone who enters God's eternal kingdom must be born of woman, which we all have been born, and born of the holy and righteous Spirit of God as Jesus was born. Then in verse 6 of John chapter 3, Jesus says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's nothing we can do as children of Adam, born of flesh into sin and death, to change ourselves into righteous spirit beings that are acceptable to God so that we can enter His kingdom. We enter the kingdom of man only through birth. We also enter the kingdom of God only through birth. It is our inheritance by birth that establishes what we are by nature. Now, that which is born of the flesh is still flesh, and the thing that happens to all flesh will happen to us. Our bodies will die. That which is born of the Spirit of God, though, which is eternal and is holy and righteous, will live forever in Jesus Christ. The church of God, which Jesus Christ is the head of, is made up of all who are born of God's Spirit, who have been born anew of God and have become the spirit body of Jesus Christ. The church, actually. Now, back to the earlier question of what causes a person to be born of God. And the answer is, Jesus says, whoever believes in Him is the one that is born of God. He who hears His word and believes in God who sent Him has been saved. He has been born again. And as Jesus says, He has passed over from death to life. Now, this is hard for us to understand and to accept because it goes against everything that we are as human beings. But you know, no other way is given. There has been and will be no appreciable physical change, nor to most people will the spiritual change be visible. And Jesus goes on to explain that also in John chapter 3 in verses 7 and 8. And He tells them, do not be amazed that I said to you, you must be born again. Now, being spiritually born again is a very practical matter, actually, that Jesus says is absolutely essential to having eternal life. And we should not be amazed at that, because that's the only means by which we can become like God and dwell forever with Him. We need to remember that God became like man, so that through Jesus, man could then become like God. Jesus was and is God. And I want to show you that. Let's go to John chapter 1 and verses 1 through 3. And here Jesus is identified as God. In verse 1, we're told, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, the Word is the name for God. Verse 2, He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. Then in verse 14 of John chapter 1, we're told how God the Word came into the world as a man. Verse 14, and the Word, referring to God the Word, became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus was the only man ever born of woman who was born full of grace and truth. That means that all the grace and truth which can be known to man comes from Him alone. When God the Word became the man Jesus Christ, He did not cease being God by His conception in the womb of a woman. He was still the eternally existent God, but He had, at the same time, become fully a human being through His human birth. Jesus was and is 100% God, and He is 100% man. The Spirit of Jesus, though, is always God. His body died, as do those of all mankind, but His spirit being, as eternal God, cannot die. He is eternal. To believe in Jesus Christ is to believe that He is exactly who John describes in these verses. Jesus Himself, just before He was crucified, told His disciples in John chapter 14 and verse 6 how everyone must come to the God the Father and to eternal life. And Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Now, coming to the Father means coming to Him like His Son Jesus. It's only through becoming like Jesus in His way, His truth, and His life that a person can come to God. Verse 8 now of John chapter 3. Jesus says the wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but do not know where it comes from and where it is going. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. The creation of a new spirit within these bodies, the spirit of the holy and righteous one, Jesus Christ, cannot be humanly discerned. All we can see is the old body of flesh and what it does. We cannot see in one another the new spirit presence and life within that is of God. That was fully seen in Jesus, but it was not understood nor accepted. The entire nature of God, His love, mercy, kindness, patience, goodness, holiness, and righteousness, was visibly seen and heard in the person of Jesus Christ and in His words and actions. Jesus made purification of sins through His sacrifice of Himself for us. His dead body, not His life, but His body, was resurrected and changed into an eternal body, so that the bodies of believers will be resurrected in the same manner at His return. What then does a spirit-born believer here on earth look like? They look like everyone else looks. They're physically unchanged. Their old nature, the old self, is unchanged. But a new creation, a new spirit has been born within that will begin to lead the old self in a totally opposite direction. What's the new spirit within like, though? What's changed in the believer? Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5 about the new nature that is born in believers, and it's totally opposite of the old nature. 7. Listen to what Jesus says about those spiritually born again of God. This is in Matthew chapter 5. We'll start in verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are the people that have given up on making themselves good and acceptable to God and have turned to Jesus and put their faith and trust in Him to change them and to save them, according to His word. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Those who are born of God's Spirit mourn over their inability to live as they desire in God's righteousness, because there's this continual conflict going on within between the spirit of Christ and the old spirit of Satan. They have comfort now, though, in the presence of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within and supports and guides them. Verse 5, blessed are the gentle, meaning the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. It belongs to them, but it also is their inheritance, and it's not given now, but they will inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. The spirits of believers crave the righteousness of Christ, and they are being satisfied now and forever by the words spoken by Jesus and spiritually taught by God the Holy Spirit, who is with them and is in them. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. You know, a total change of the spirit is required to make a person pure in heart, but those changed do see God in the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. I want to close now with some of Jesus' words telling who are actually born-again believers and how to live in obedience to Him. You know, there are many, many people professing a belief in Jesus Christ and who believe themselves to be saved. But Jesus explains very carefully that those who are true believers are also being obedient to His words. This is in John chapter 3 and verse 36, which we read earlier. But He makes this point, he who believes in the Son has eternal life. But he who does not obey the Son will not see life, but the wrath of God abides on him. He who believes in the Son and is born again with the Spirit of Christ will, of course, begin to obey Him alone. No other words of men or of churches are of truth. John chapter 5 and verse 24, truly, truly, I say to you, Jesus says, he who hears my word and believes Him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. It's only those who hear His word and believe God who sent Him, Jesus says, that passes from death to life. John chapter 8 and verse 31, so Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed Him, if you continue in my word, then you are truly disciples of mine. No other word than that of Jesus has saving value. So the real test of whether a person is born again into eternal life is whether he continues throughout his life learning and following Jesus' word. Then, in John chapter 8 and verse 51, Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." Now, Jesus is not saying that believers will never sin or that they won't stumble and fail at times. It happens many times in the life of the believer. But he's saying that the believer will never turn back to the old life. Unbelievers always turn back at some point, but believers never do because they have been born of God and are no longer under judgment of sin because they have crossed over in the Spirit of Christ into eternal life as the children of God in His kingdom. Now, these things are clear. They're unmistakable. The only requirement for eternal life is to believe in Jesus Christ. That is true belief. Those who believe are born again of God, and because they're born of God's holy and righteous Spirit, they have no sin, and so are never again under the judgment of condemnation, and they have crossed over from death to eternal life, and this is all done by the work of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We'll continue with this in future programs, so if you have a pen and paper handy and would like a free CD copy of today's program, which is number 59, simply call us at 501-316-0136, or you can write to Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. Or you can listen to these, or you can freely download any of these programs from our internet website in MP3 audio format at www.communitychurchofgod.com. And again, our phone number is 501-316-0136, and our address is Community Church of God, 2701 West Robin Hood Drive, Benton, Arkansas, 72019. We thank you for joining us today as we look at these true words of Jesus Christ telling us exactly how we can be saved from death, and not only that, but we can live now and forever as God's own children.